If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Crunch time!
Crunch time!
You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Crunch time!
Crunch time!
All right, Kansas City, welcome to Crunch Time, the Super Bowl edition.
That's next week.
No, we are celebrating for 2 weeks, Frank.
Next week.
We are celebrating once they clinched and they're going to another Super Bowl. We're just like the news. I mean, they had stories canned already.
Of course they did.
You could tell about that.
I've been there.
I mean, how many stories can you tell and go into in depth about the Kansas City Chiefs and their Super Bowl week or 2 weeks? And
there aren't enough. The biggest problem was you'd get all these things in the can, and then they'd lose. You know how many times I did that for you?
Thanks, Frank. You're the best. You're the best.
Wow.
Even Curtis is even feeling bad for me, which nobody ever feels bad for me at 810 WHB.
I'll tell you what we did. In Buffalo, okay, you're playing the Bills, right? We sent a, I remember it was Catherine Bliss, I think. We sent her and a reporter. The Super Bowl that year was in Atlanta, I think. I believe it was when you lost the Bills. And we had Catherine Bliss was already in Atlanta and preparing for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. And she did like one story and came home.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. Yeah,
you're welcome. Too.
Just CBD American Shaman is our sponsor. So let's go to the next subject. Not me missing Super Bowls. Can't we go? Can't we look at the present? Can't we just enjoy the two-week process of the Kansas City Chiefs going to the Super Bowl? Why do you have to continue, Frank, to just kick dirt on me? All right? I know I didn't make the damn Super Bowl. All right?
Okay. Don't be so thin-skinned. Oh, you're an offensive lineman.
I am thin-skinned.
You're supposed to have a little hard bark on you by this time.
I am thin-skinned. Okay. And one of the guys that we had a really, really good opportunity to go to the Super Bowl with is on the show today.
Joe Montana.
That's right.
Hall of Famer. The one and only.
Joe's
still beloved here in KC.
Oh, big time.
I still love him.
Joe's going to come on. We'll talk to him a little bit about Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, and you know he won his first Super Bowl his third year, and Patrick Mahomes was in what year when he won his first?
Third.
Mm-hmm. And won a couple more as his career progressed.
Yeah,
and
won four.
Tom Brady obviously has been in, what, 10 Super Bowls now?
10 Super Bowls, and he's going for his seventh.
Amazing. So we'll talk a little
bit
about that.
That's the hill Patrick Mahomes still has to climb.
Yeah. And you know, it's okay. It's a good hill.
Yeah,
it's a good hill to climb.
You got to have those goals out in front of you, buddy.
And I was kind of going back through some of my old notes and looking through the old Marty book with Marty Ball.
That's it.
And looked through the chapter when Joe Montana came in. So I got some fun things to ask him about that.
Yeah.
Joe's first time here in Kansas City. I can't tell you about the first time Joe and I went out, but I could tell you about the first time Joe came to Kansas City. If Joe wants to tell his story, he can tell it. I have told parts of it. You know, like we went to Kelly's, and there was nobody there.
You don't have to say one thing.
This was before cell phones.
Yes.
There was nobody there. I think it was like a Tuesday night or a Monday night. It was during mini camp, and there was nobody there. We walked in, had a couple of beers, and by the time we left, because we had to, it looked like St. Patrick's Day there. It was packed to the gills. And I don't know how people found I know how people found out, but they didn't have text messages
or
social media.
Red called all his friends. That's what happened, okay?
Well, Red could fill up a place in a second,
that's
for sure.
You know, the thing I remember, too, about Joe, we're River Falls, right? We're up in River Falls, and you guys came into Bozeman in between the end of the meetings and the curfew, and you'd slam down a couple beers before you had to head back to the dorm. Joe sat at the bar. I think he had a couple. Coors Lights, I think, at that time.
Yep.
And I had a couple Coors Lights. Got up, left. Susie left. Four or five women ran to where he had been sitting and grabbed the Coors Light can.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about Montana mania. And the little kid, the little kid at camp, the first day he came, all the buses and cars, all the media was there, an old deal. And Joe was going to be coming out and whole deal. Some kid got under somebody's car.
It was his car.
And was waiting for Joe so he could run out and try to get an autograph. And the guys almost took off with the kids still under the car.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That was pretty bad. But I mean, it was amazing.
But Joe, every night of training camp, had a pizza. And sometimes it was beer. Sometimes it was soda. Sometimes it was water. Most of the time it was beer. Sitting in front of every offensive lineman's door of their room.
Wow.
So he had a pizza, a couple beers. He used to tell the guys every night, I want those guys taken care of. So that's the way Joe was. We'll have him on, and it's going to be fun to reminisce with him a little bit. But I do want to visit with him a little bit about, I mean, you know, the different stages. You know, how did he react to a Super Bowl in his third year, in his fourth year, or his fifth year? And then when he got older, and, you know, was it harder? Was it easier? What was the differences? What were the challenges? All those kind of things. So we'll have fun with Joe.
And the game has changed since Joe played quarterback.
Yes, it has.
There's no doubt. You know, we're talking about this a little bit. You know, the defensive situation has changed. Can't touch receivers. You can't really nail somebody coming across the middle of the field. You know, you can't just crush them as they come across. So receivers are running free across the middle of the field where you could never do that before. You can't hit the quarterback. I saw some hits today. They're showing some Steelers, some of the old Steel Curtain Steelers games. And the way those guys would actually pick the quarterbacks up and just slam them into the ground. You just don't see that anymore. I mean, it was unbelievable the stuff they got
just
away
with. Just think how long he could have played. If he had the elbow problem. It was from getting thrown down on the turf.
Yeah, trying to brace himself.
And so he could have played much longer. And, you know, and I think that you're seeing Tom Brady, listen, it's amazing what he's doing. I'm not trying to take anything away from what Tom Brady's doing, but they are taking care of the quarterback a little bit more. So he could probably play a lot longer. And probably one of the side effects of this rule is quarterbacks can't play much, much longer.
But Brady's come through the change in rules, too. You know, they've gotten easier and easier and easier for the offense as time has gone along because the NFL wants an offensive game.
Yep, that's exactly right. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that. But we do want to bring up something really, really cool that we're doing this Saturday. Frank and I join us this Saturday for the grand opening of Shaman's Leewood Total Wellness on 11709 Row in Leewood. It'll be me, Frank, and Neil Smith will be there. And then don't forget that David Smale will be there with his new book, The Keys to the Kingdom. So there's going to be a great, great day over there at 117.
Time to come on out and find out what's going on,
117th and Row, right, 10179 Row.
Right, that's on the north side of Camelot Court. It's between the Leewood Fine Arts and Arbor Nails, right between them. There's never been a storefront in there before. It's the first time. Camelot Court's been there a long time. First time a store has been in that spot.
If you're into fitness or you're trying to, you know, find your way into fitness, or you're just a little intimidated by a lot of the new things, the IV aesthetics, CBD, maybe hormone treatment, all those kind of things. The health professionals will be there to talk to you. I got a couple buddies that have some personal training gyms, and they're all going to come there because they want to talk to these guys about, you know, being able to send some of their clients over there to get, especially the IV therapy that is the new thing. And it just gets right in your system right away. And we all know how important vitamins are right now for your health. And, you know, this whole COVID thing, too. You know, vitamin D is known for fighting and helping out with the issues with COVID.
Yeah, and they got the intramuscular injections for vitamin C and CoQ10. They offer hormone replacement for both men and women. IV therapy for everything from hangovers to PTSD. Full aesthetics, too. They have Botox and filler. And even they'll do diet stuff with weight loss and try to help you in those areas as well. Two doctors, four nurses, nurse practitioners. They'll have a medical concierge available as well for individual stuff. They'll have family and single memberships, monthly packages and offers. Door-to-door service is coming. They're open 7 days a week. So come on over and see us on Saturday between noon and 3.
And their weight loss thing does work. It really does, especially with some of the hormone therapy that you kind of kick that system back in again. You know, I started out when I was done playing. I ballooned up. I think I got to about 330. And I had to realize I was going to lose some weight. And I kind of worked my way down. But I got down to, it was about a year ago or 2 years ago, that I was kind of fluctuating again. I was about 275, 280. And I was like, I don't want to go back up. And I've been able to get down to the 250s. I'm 255 now.
Wow.
Because of working with the CBD America Shaman people. And so, the hard thing, especially with weight loss, as we all know, you can get to a certain point and then you just can't do anything about it. And your body just won't let it go. And that's why I would get to 270 and I just could not lose any more. And through the CBD American Shaman and through the IV therapy and different things I've taken advantage of with the company, that now I'm done. I've lost that 15, 20 pounds that I never thought I'd lose. And now I'm addicted to it. I want to try to get down in the 40s, which, I haven't weighed 240 since my sophomore year in high school.
I was going to say, it's going to be high school. Yeah. You realize if you do that, that'd be 60. That'd be 90 pounds.
90 pounds.
You'd be almost
100 pounds.
Holy God.
And I never
You'll be
thought
way
of.
Healthier for it, too.
Absolutely. So join us. Come on over. We'll be there. We'll be hanging out.
Yeah, Neil Smith will be with us as mm-hmm. well. We'll have fun. And David Smale, like Tim said, and his book, Keys of the Kingdom. And it's a beautiful coffee table type
book.
Oh,
it's
great. So yeah, I have it right in the middle of my coffee table.
It's great because, once again, it's 11709 Row in Leawood. It is Leawood Total Wellness. Come on out, and they'll have refreshments, and you can meet with the healthcare professionals. There's doctors. I mean, this isn't a bunch of schmoes over there.
Credible people.
Yeah, really, really good doctors.
It's good for you to come in. If you have any questions, but it's a great time to come in and ask questions.
Yeah.
There's no obligation when you come through the door. None.
You know
just
what?
Come on and
you're
see
gonna,
what's going
you're
on.
You're going to end up leaving with a bunch of crap. I mean, they're going to give stuff.
Yeah,
you say crap. Last time we did something.
Leave with a bunch of crap?
Yeah,
me.
I know. Last time we went down the Lake of the Ozarks.
That's right.
With the CBD American Shaman deal.
You bet.
Man, we had pockets full of stuff.
They took care of us down
here. Yeah, and they'll do it for you. They were giving it out. I mean, people are coming up.
They want you to try it.
Hey, do you have those cigs? Like, I don't know. Maybe that was the big thing.
No, that's just yelled at me. Hey, Frank, you got any cigs over there? Yeah. Tim, I've got them. They're right here.
So if you want to try something, I'm sure they're going to have a bunch of free samples out there. So come on over and check it out.
Yeah.
It don't cost you nothing. Come on over and hang out with us.
Hey, and if you're skeptical, try it.
And we'll be
That's
signing,
all we can tell you.
We'll be signing autographs if you still want an autograph from Neil and I. And, Frank's autograph is worth more than ours now. Right, I mean, he's the godfather of sports here in Kansas City. So that'll be going on. So that's good.
That's that.
Hey, so the Kansas City Chiefs, a big win this weekend, man. This team, Frank, you always hear that, that team just doesn't know how to win. Right? How many times have you heard that? Well, boy, they just find ways to lose. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs are the opposite. So if there are teams that find ways to lose and there are teams that, just can't find the right answer to win, this team is the opposite. It just finds ways to win. Mm-hmm. It just does not accept the idea of losing.
It doesn't matter what you do. I mean, last year, all the double-digit, deficits they ran, they're not 24-0 at one time. You just go, are you kidding me? And they come back and win. And so when they get down, they got down 9-0, right? I mean, I didn't even double take on that deal. There was just no way. This is no problem. It's 9-0 this team. And I could be a skeptic.
No.
I don't know how, unless Tampa Bay pulls a rabbit out of their hat. Somehow, okay. Even with Tom Brady quarterback, I just don't see how they're going to keep up with this football
team. Well, let's ask the original GOAT. Yeah, we have the kid, and then supposedly be the GOAT, but the original GOAT's Joe Montana.
Yeah, that's true. He is.
He's my GOAT. So we'll ask him. We're going to have him on in a couple minutes. We got to take a break because he's in Hawaii right now. So and I said, hey, can you come on?
Aren't we cutting down the sun time?
He's in Hawaii.
What is it, about 2:15 there?
Yeah.
1:15?
Yeah. So I'm like, hey, can you come on? He goes, I'm in Hawaii. I go, don't worry about it. He goes, I'll come on. I go, you sure? And he didn't answer. And I'm like, then I text him the next day. Are you okay? 2:15 okay? Yeah, I'll talk to you then. So
hopefully you have your times right.
I know it. You're listening to
Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. Frank Bohl and Tim Grunhard. This next guy needs hardly introduction to this town. They still love him here. The one and only Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowl wins, Super Bowl MVP 3 times.
But before Tom Brady made this move, Joe Montana made the move, okay? And people are always asking, well, why did Joe Montana decide to leave the 49ers? And Marty talked about it in his book. Maybe it was the fans, it was the stadium, he wanted to be around the guys. The real reason is he wanted to put his hands between my legs. Right, Joe? You came here because of me.
Holy crap. That is the biggest ass I've ever seen in my life.
So I know that was the clincher. You know, the Cardinals probably offered you more money and everything else, but you came here.
Me as soon as I saw that picture from behind, I go, Jesus, where else can I go? I got a big ass from Notre Dame. What the hell?
You know, speaking of Notre Dame, there was an interesting stat that one of our guys came up with that how many people from Notre Dame have scored touchdowns in a Super Bowl. And you have the stats, don't you, Frank?
Yeah, right. There's six Notre Dame. Do you know anybody else, Joe,
six
off
Notre
top
Dame
of your
guys.
Head besides you?
I'm gonna say Tim Brown.
No.
Is that a good guess?
Nope.
Wow.
See, we got Dave Casper.
Oh, the bus.
No.
The bus? No? The bus?
You're like me. You suck at this kind of stuff. No,
I don't keep track of that.
No, you got Rocky.
Yeah, right. Well, you got Dave Casper.
Right.
Rocky Blyer.
There goes.
Mark Bavaro. Ricky Waters scored three times. David Givens scored a couple. And you scored two yourself. Now, that's you on the ground.
He actually ran the ball into the end zone?
Yeah, absolutely.
He must have been in his third or fourth year when he did that.
He's only one of three former Notre Dame quarterbacks to throw a TD pass.
All I can tell you is cheer does wonders for you when you run. It's not about speed. It's about fear.
You know, it's interesting, Joe. I mean, with these two quarterbacks going and everybody's talking about kind of the differences, Tom Brady is in his 100th year of playing, has played in 10 Super Bowls, and then you have Patrick Mahomes, who's in his fourth year and has played in two Super Bowls already. You've been there and really in kind of both situations. Is there a difference when you're a young guy playing in a Super Bowl and you may be playing a couple, or an older guy? What were the difference in the experience of playing in a Super Bowl?
I don't think there's any. I think it's one of those things that when you get there, it is the people around you. Unfortunately, if we hadn't lost that game like two or three games in and we would have not gone to Buffalo, you would have had that experience. Unfortunately, I'm sure it was my fault. But it was just – there's no real – once you get there the first time, there's no My feeling is, and what I tell people is, okay, here's how you think about it. If you have a kid who has never had candy in his life, right? Once you give him candy, that's all he wants. And then once he's had candy, that's what he wants and that's what he expects. And that's what both these teams are, right? Maybe not Tampa. Well, Tampa's been there before and they've won, but not with Brady. Brady's been there a shitload of times. But, so you know, here's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They've been there last year, and they're back. And the thing I like the most about it is that I was watching the Chiefs defense. You know, forget the offense, because you know they're going to go crazy and they're going to do whatever they do. But watching the defense last week, or this past weekend, I'm watching them go man-to-man coverage and whoever the announcers were going, well, oh, my God, look, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? Man-to-man coverage, they're doubling. They know who to double. I think the Chiefs' defense is a little different than what Brady's expecting, and I think they're going to get more pressure. You can't beat Tampa if you don't get pressure on Brady. If you get pressure on him, he makes crazy throws like you saw last week. They threw three interceptions. They threw one ball. Like, I don't know, up to the third level for no reason. And, you know, you've got to get pressure on him. If you let him stand back there, he will tear you apart. Then it becomes a scoring match with Mahomes. And obviously they have the ability to do that. But if you want to stop him and slow him down, you got to get to him right away in the beginning.
We're talking with former Kansas City Chief, San Francisco 49er, and Hall of Famer Joe Montana. Joe, how much motivation, I know you did because you came here and played for a couple more years, how much motivation was it for you to try to get or try to do what Brady did? Okay, he was in New England forever, play with him. You know, he and Bill Belichick after falling out, and he decided, I'm not done yet. He could have walked away from the game with an incredible legacy. Here he is, all of a sudden, 1 year into the transformation of him going down to Tampa, and he is back in the Super Bowl. How much motivation was that for you after you left San Francisco?
Well, Tim will tell you, this is what we play for every year. It's not about motivation, about showing people. The thing for me was, I could have played so much earlier in that year in San Francisco, but the head coach, he wouldn't even allow me to go to practice. He made me come in, get my therapy, leave before the team came out of their meeting. And that's, I mean, to me, I just had the best season of my life. And when I left the championship game, we were winning. And so it isn't about that. It was about, I know I can still play. And when I chose the Chiefs for two reasons, great organization and a great team that was underneath of you. Great offensive line, except for the center.
There's always a weak link.
But there's always a weak link, so you know what you're going to do. But, I mean, you look at the defensive team that we had, you look at the offensive team we had, and then you added Marcus Allen. And it just be, what the heck is that? Sorry, guys. You just add all that to. That's where I wanted to go. That the stadium, the people, not only people in the stadium, but the people in the town, how accepting they were of us and the family. And yeah, when I went in there, I won't lie to you. Derek Thomas, Neil Smith, those guys on the defensive side. They wanted to see that you could still produce. And those are the things that, no matter where, even Tom, I guarantee you Tom went in there and everyone's going, okay, he's coming here. He's probably the greatest ever. But they want to see him play for them. You know, you can say, don't give me what you've done in the past. Give me what you're going to do for me because you're here now. And so that was how I felt with Kansas City. But the acceptance of everybody was so unbelievable. It was so much fun to play in that stadium. And Marty Schottenheimer, I still remember the first time he goes, you are not going to believe the first home game when we go into the stadium. I go, Marty, I played in like four Super Bowls and all these crazy things. And he's saying, you can't believe it. And you know what? He was right. When we walked into that, the stadium came in, we went in, and you hear the stadium going, and the home of the whole stadium goes, Chiefs! Oh, my God. I get goosebumps even today about it. And so, it's a great place to play. And, Tom's great, and he's had all this, and he's got tremendous weapons, but, man, the Chiefs got him, too. And don't count him out. And everybody's, I know what everybody's thinking. Brady, he's going to prove himself and win another one. And if he does, I'm going to kick
Hey, Gwen, when you see a guy like Patrick Mahomes and some of the stuff he did, and listen, you did some of that stuff too. When you the famous pass when you rolled out and got the ball, who was it to Jones? Was
no,
it
Dwight Clark?
Dwight Clark. That was the kind of a thing that these quarterbacks now they're all kind of doing those little things. I mean, they're rolling out and getting out of the pocket and doing those things. But when you see Patrick Mahomes doing some of the things that he can do, what's the first thought to go through your mind?
Absolutely a different individual than anyone has ever seen before. The way he delivers the ball, the things he does, his mobility, the ability to look and throw, and he's special. Brady is special, but Mahomes is special in another way. I mean, he makes things happen, and Tom's going to stay in the pocket. And if you get pressure on him, he's going to throw the ball away somehow, some way. That's not happening with Mahomes. He's going to find another way to try to make something happen in that game. And you can get pressure on him, but you know what? You better start. And how do you cover those little things down the field that run like those 4-2s? And you just can't keep that. They understand how this. They understand that offense and they understand how it works. So if you're going to get pressure on him and you make a move, then I'm telling you, those defensive backs got problems. Because it's hard enough to cover those guys as fast as they are in a straight drop-back pass. But then you give them another 2 or 3 seconds, look out. You know, and that's the thing I think is so special about him is that he has got so many ways to get the ball down the field, score touchdowns, and he doesn't mind being behind. And, you know, a great quarterbacks don't mind being behind. And usually in the beginning, they're probably going, this is probably my fault. Anyway, let's go make this happen. So, and he's got that ability. And that's the thing, this Super Bowl, I can't wait for, because I think it's going to be so much fun. I'm going to kick Grunhard's butt.
Yeah. talk about the Hall of Famer, Joe Montana. Joe, when you look at the game today compared to when you played, the rules have all changed for the offense, obviously. Defense, you watch the Chiefs, guys are going in motion. Next thing you know, they're sprinting full speed across the center of the field. And you know back in the day that had gotten their heads taken off by a linebacker somewhere along the line. Somebody would have clotheslined him. And then the quarterbacks. You can't hit the quarterback. I was just watching, telling Tim today, I just had some stuff up on ESPN about the old Steelers steel curtain defense. And how those guys, you know, the Mean Joe Green, they'd pick the quarterback up and slam him into the turf. You try to do something like that these days, that ain't happening. So the rules have changed a lot. What are your thoughts about the game today compared to then?
You know, it's one of those things where I'm sure the guys who played before Tim and I were saying the same things about the era that we played in. It's getting easier and easier and easier. And this is probably, Tim knows, and he'll explain after we hang up maybe what 7-on-7 is. But it's for the quarterbacks, it's almost 7-on-7 where you don't have to worry about getting hit. It used to be who's the guy that can stand in that pocket knowing that the guy 3, 4, 5 feet from him is going to plant him in the ground as soon as I throw. And can I throw that ball accurately? And it's different today. And you know what? It's great because it's a great viewing game. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to feel like I'm complaining about it. Would I rather play today? Absolutely. Because I would need another center. But
we could arrange that.
But I think it's a fun game to watch. And is it different? Yeah, absolutely, it's different. Was it different from me to the people before me? Absolutely. Was it different? Go back to Otto Graham and Sammy Baugh. Those guys were playing in a game that, you know, what they were doing to wide receivers and on releases, you throw them in jail today for. So I don't know. But you know what? All I say is enjoy the game and series. And that's why he says, how do you compare this app? You're comparing apples to oranges, and you can't do it. Enjoy what's going on today, because you know what's going to happen in a couple of years. Patrick Mahomes, he may be running by Brady. You know, he's young enough to be able to do that. And you know, Tom has had a tremendous career and he set all these numbers for people to go after. But I look back on it and I go, oh my Lord! When I was playing, throw Danny Marino into the day. Oh, look out! I wouldn't want to turn Danny loose today. But and we all say that. And like I said, the people before us are saying, nah, nah, nah. And you made this, and I made that. And these guys are making, stupid money.
Hey, Joe,
so enjoy the game. enjoy the game like I do. I enjoy it, and that's it.
Before we let you get back to the beach, we know you're having a nice family vacation. Hey, when you look back at your Super Bowls, and you know Tom Brady's been in a bunch of them, you've been in a bunch of them, do any of them stand out? Do they all kind of blend in together? Do you remember certain situations? Do you remember certain games? Are certain games that you really look back fondly more than other ones? Or how does that work in your mind when you think about your Super Bowls?
I think they're all different, Tim. I think when you look at the first one, it was the first one, and it was crazy because I didn't think it was a great game for us. We won, and I think it was a great game for me. Yeah, I was the MVP, and I'm sitting in the training room eating a cheeseburger, and my dad walks in, and he's so excited, and he's going, "How you doing?" I'm going, "Well, I'm okay." "Why?" He goes, "I don't know. I just think the game was okay." He goes, "Well, you know what? Why don't you shut up? You just won the Super Bowl and you're the MVP. Eat your cheeseburger and go have some fun." But every game was different. The next game we played, Marino in San Francisco, basically a home game for us. We win. The next one we go down and we play Sam Weitz, who was my first quarterback coach. And we ended up throwing a touchdown to win the Super Bowl, different than anything else. And then the next game, unfortunately for us, we blew out Denver, and they took me out of the game early. And that's one thing I'd say is don't blow away, because one game you don't want to come out of is the Super Bowl. But I will say one thing, and you know what? I had this conversation with Dave Craig like 2 days ago on text. The Buffalo game, and Jim Kelly texted me the same thing. And I'm going, the Buffalo game stands out for us with the Chiefs two ways. One, we should have never lost that game. That would have let us have a home game. Mm-hmm. And going up there to Buffalo, if I could throw the ball from 10 yards, I would have been happy. Light drizzle. I don't remember the temperature, freezing your butt off. And then right before halftime, we throw a pass to one of the running backs. He drops a ball that would have kept us in the game, and mm-hmm. then just kind of got away from us after that. That honestly, I don't look at the victories as much as I look at the defeats. And I look back on it. We lost the 49ers when I was there. We lost to Washington in a game where the Phantom calls in the championship game. We lose to the Giants when I break my hand and come out of the game when we're winning. We don't go to the Super Bowl, which I was sort of happy for since I wasn't playing. But it was the best season I had. And then you go to the game, and then you go to Kansas City, and the thing is that you just want to go to the next level. And I thought we were there, and that stupid game we lost that cost us home field advantage really, I think, cost us a Super Bowl. And even though Jim Kelly's a good friend, and I said, "Jim, you should just let us go anyway, because you guys are going to go there and lose anyway."
Oh, I bet he loved that. Hey, Joe, without the concussion, would have you played another year, or was that pretty much going to be your final year?
No, I would have played another year, and if I could have hung on long enough, I might have played more because of the rule changes. But the problem I had was I had already had a few injuries,
right?
And the concussion made me start thinking about the rest of my life with my family. I already missed my girls, kind of growing up. The boys were getting to that age where they're going to start sports and playing, and I really thought that I want to be able to. I want to be able to run up and down, throw balls, and do the things that I need to do. And I was just nervous that I was not going to be able to do that. And the thing is, still to this day, I kick myself going, because I made the decision a little too early, I think, because I would have loved to come back and play. I should have come back and played another year. And I mean, our team was so good defensively and offensively, and it was just a lot of fun. The guys we had, Timmy will tell you, we had a blast with that defense and with our offensive line, the running backs, the wide receivers. And we were just learning about each other. We were just learning about how this offense could work. And then, you know, we go back to the first game where we played Tampa the first of the season, and I kept, you know, because they don't know me. These guys don't know me. They know me from seeing me, but we ran some plays in the offense. And in the first game, there are plays that we run that on the backside of a pass that we're trying to go, we have what we call post-hook read. And I kept trying to tell the guys, okay, I don't care what happens. If I get a blitz and that safety leaves the middle, even though I'm not protected, if he's out of the middle, I am throwing the post. I will stand in there and throw it. And JJ drops the first post in the end zone. And like a dummy, I'm standing there trying to watch it because I'm going, touchdown. And I put my hands back, and I don't know if you remember, I fractured my wrist. And it was just like the craziest thing. I go, I told you it was coming. I told you. And I think we were just getting to the point where we were getting in sync after that, hey, I see what you mean. I see what you do. This is how the offense works. This is what we do. And had we had more time together, I mean, those two, him and JJ and Willie, oh my Lord.
Joe, if we had any more time together, we'd both be divorced again. I mean, listen, Sarah would have left me. She's like, that Montana guy's still around here. I'm out of here. So I was telling these guys about the very first time that we got together. We can't really tell the story particularly, but it was a mini camp day. And you said, hey, let's go out and grab a burger or something. Next thing, it was 3:30 in the morning. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I missed curfew.
And I got home and Sarah was like waiting for me with a broom. She was beating me with a broom. I said, what am I supposed to tell Joe Montana? I got to go home? I mean, come on. Right?
Well, and then that was like the days when the defensive guys grabbed me and took me, and they went, okay, you're going with us, and we went to some place under a bridge somewhere, and we were having fried chicken livers and gizzards, and you know what? I had the best time of my life. It was one of the best environments ever for our kids, our family. Yeah. I mean, our neighborhood was just so engulfing of our family that they started putting up, we lived at the end of a cul-de-sac, they started putting up a cone so that people would not come all the way down to the bottom because the kids were all out there riding go-karts, playing, running in the street. And I remember the first Saturday, Jennifer goes, first Saturday for the first home game, she goes, I'm going to take the kids and I'm going to go away. So I'm sitting there and I'm studying, and all of a sudden I hear the doorbell ring, and I go, I look out the little side window of the front door, and I go, oh, shit. There's like 8 kids. And I open up the door, I'm going, hey, gang, how you guys doing? And they go, are you kids home? And I go, no, they're not here. Okay, when they come out, tell them we're looking for them. And they just all walked away.
They didn't want you. They wanted the kids.
No, they wanted the kids. Yeah.
All right, Manny.
It was such a blast, man.
You're the best, buddy.
It's so good.
You're the best, man. Love you. Miss you. And, boy, those were great times. And see you soon, my man. See you soon.
Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. Chiefs.
Yeah, thank you, Timmy. I miss you too, man. It was good. It was a fun time, and we unfortunately, I think we left a lot on the table.
Story of my career.
But, yep.
All right, buddy. Hey.
You guys take care.
All right.
Hey, Joe, you too, buddy. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
That was Joe Montana. We'll be right back with Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunner and Frank Bowe. We just had Joe Montana on, and Joe was talking about the defense and, you know, Derek Thomas and Neil Smith, and I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up how much great work that Derek and Neil have done with third down and long. And one thing that Joe has always been there for the third down and long people with donations and helping out. And Joe really and truly cared a lot about Derek Thomas, loved Neil Smith, and loved the third down and long community. And all the stuff that they do, and we want to thank
Donna Woolard once again for all the work that she does over there. She's been there forever too. So Donna, I know you're out there. Joe, he did a lot of hard work and was dedicated to third down and long, but you're the queen of third down and long. So
that's exactly
we appreciate
right.
you.
And you could tell just talking to Joe how much you love being here. That was he did not want to leave. When he decided to retire, he wanted to stay, but Jennifer wanted to go back to California, and that's you know how that happens.
Yeah. And seriously, he told me that story before about all those kids came up to the house.
Right.
Because this happened to him before in San Francisco where everyone autographs and stuff. And they knocked on the door and they didn't want autographs. They didn't even want to talk to Mr. Montana. They wanted the kids to come out.
Come out and play.
And come out and play. And he thought that was the coolest thing.
And then neighbors blocking off the cul-de-sac so people wouldn't just come down looking for autographs.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And he always said when he went to restaurants, people left him alone. If he was eating dinner, they just sort of left him alone. He said it was the most unbelievable thing he'd ever witnessed because when he left San Francisco, he couldn't go anywhere. He was a prisoner in his own house.
I will tell you this, and I've talked to Joe many times since he retired, and since the Mahomes thing, we've done a couple events together. And I asked him, I said, you know, what was the hardest thing that you had to learn to do when you became that? You know, that superstar athlete, the Michael Jordan, the Patrick Mahomes, those kind of guys. I mean, just transcend the sport. He said, you got to learn how to say no. You don't really want to say no, as it feels uncomfortable to say no. But once you say yes, like especially with the autographs and stuff, I mean, all of a sudden there's 100, 200 people there, and you just can't get out of it.
Right.
And he said the one thing he's wanted to tell Patrick, if you ever had a chance to talk to him, is you got to learn to, you know, kind of manage your personal time.
Yeah.
And that's what Joel liked about Kansas City, is that he wasn't bombarded as much in his personal time. That's why he wanted to stay here.
Right.
Because here he was Joe Montana, but in his neighborhood he was Mr. Montana.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he was
the kid's dad.
The kid's dad.
Oh yeah, your dad.
And he couldn't it was a whole foreign thing for him when he was here. So,
And the other thing is too, I think the NFL and the teams now manage the players different than they did back then.
Right.
You know, they really keep all that away and into another area, and they'll go, hey, do you want to do this? You want to do that? I'll take care of all this for you and do everything for you until you get done. When you want to say no, I'll say no for you.
But I will tell you this. The one thing that he told us, and he said, listen, you know, I got to be, you know, kind of careful and, you know, the things that we go and do. But he said, but he was, and this is the biggest compliment that you can give somebody, especially when you're playing in the NFL, is he's one of us. He'd be one of us. He was one of the guys. He was one of the guys when he was sitting at Kelly's. He was one of, but he just couldn't, you know, he just couldn't do the same things that we could do. And, you know, we had our little, you know, celebrity kind of run-in type of deals, but this was a whole different level.
Yeah.
So he really enjoyed being here in Kansas City.
He even showed up to Levy a couple times, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He went to Levy. He had police escort to get him into Levy.
Get him in and get him out.
That's right. Yeah. And he was awesome. Yeah, he came two or three times to the Levy.
Which,
I mean, you know what? Listen, he's in Hawaii right now. He didn't need to come on this show.
No, heck no.
I'd be happy to do it. You know, he loves Kansas City, you know, and him and I had a good special relationship. So just glad that we had an opportunity to talk. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
I'm sure they did. There's no way they couldn't have. Hey, don't forget, too, coming up right after our show, a good show coming on Change, powered by sports from 7 to 8. They're going to have Dayton Moore on. They're going to have Bill Self on, Rob Riggle. They're going to have Chase Kaufman on. And it's all due to they're going to help the kids in KCK to do virtual workouts, in other words, a little physical education stuff. And they're going to do it for 10 weeks out there. And those kids over there haven't had a chance to play any sports this entire year. So it's just been a really tough time for them. And they're trying to ease that burden a little bit by helping them out and getting the virtual workouts in. And Nate Buchetti will anchor that show. So it'll be fun.
And if you come over and you hang out with us on Saturday, Jamie just texted me and said they're going to have the limited Run It Back CBG It's a limited edition. It's going to 38% off because obviously they scored 38 points. And, you know, so if you guys come over there, they're going to have some really cool stuff over there. Pop in, hang out with us. Health professionals. Once again, it's 11709 Row.
Yeah, it's 11709 Row Boulevard. Mm-hmm. It's in Camelot Court. It's on the north side of the shopping center. It's between Leawood Fine Arts and Arbor Nails. It's in that same shopping area that Joe's, the Hen House, and the CVS are all in that same same deal. And they have just terrific things going on. Just come on in and check it out. They're offering hormone replacement for both men and women, IV therapy for everything from hangovers to PTSD, intramuscular injections. They offer vitamin C, CoQ10, trying to take care of you. Plus, they'll have full aesthetics, Botox and filler. They'll even do some weight loss things that Tim was talking about. Get your diet all squared away and get you into a, you know, when you get down to a certain point, you can't get any further. They'll help you figure out a way to get you down to your premium weight, exactly where you want to be. So it's Shaman's Leawood Total Wellness, 11709 Row Boulevard, Camelot Court, between Leawood Fine Arts and Arbor Nails. It's on the north side, so that'll be a lot of fun. Come on in. Neil will be there. Tim will be there. I'll be there. David Smale will be there, who wrote The Keys to the Kingdom, which is a beautiful Chiefs book, coffee table edition book, and it's really terrific. He'll be there to autograph them and sell them to you, and they'll have 38% off a lot of products inside the store. So.
Yep. And, you know, these shows here on 810 start at 6 a.m., and tonight they're going till 9 p.m. with some great local broadcasting. And tonight, Nate Buchady and Bill Brammeyer will be hosting a great, great show. It's called Powered by Sports. They'll be on from 7 to 9 tonight, right after Crunch Time. Bill Self, Dayton Moore, Chase Kaufman, Kevin Ellis, Rob Riggle, and many others will be interviewed. So you got to hang out. I know this is a night, you know, sit back, relax. Maybe when you get home,
there's nothing going on.
Throw the internet on, or throw, if you have that old radio that you kind of sits by your lounge chair.
Listen on the app.
Put on 810. Listen on the app. Nate and Bill do a great job. It's called Powered by Sports, and it's on right after this. And once again, Bill Self, Dayton Moore, Chase Kaufman, Rob Riggle, and a bunch of other guys will be on. And it's powered by ShareWaves, which is a great organization. And it's a great charity they'll explain all that. But they have a great charity that helps out youth sports. So.
And we won't, we're not going to get into a prediction this week.
Nope.
I think you probably feel how you know we're both leaning at this point. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Tom Brady. This will be his 10th Super Bowl. He's had 6 wins. He's going for his 7th. And just an incredible career, almost 80,000 passing yards, 6,800 completions. Things that Patrick Mahomes will have to achieve if Patrick wants to be known as the GOAT. Because Tom Brady is the GOAT. You can say what you want, and looks like Patrick can do all those things, but Tom Brady has had one hell of a career, and he's no one to take lightly in this football game.
No, absolutely. In the last game, Brady was 27-41. He had 345 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. He had 2 interceptions. And like Joe said, that, you know, one thing that Tom does and is doing a lot with, especially now with the Bucs, that's from coaching. They're like, listen, if things get hairy, you throw it up, and our guys will win the 50-50 ball.
Yeah.
And whether they do or they don't, whether you like that theory or you don't like that theory, that's what they're doing. And they won a couple in that Green Bay game, and they lost a couple in that Green Bay game. But that's,
he never quit.
No, he's going to whip the ball down the field. So they're going to make plays, but so are the defensive backs. We're going to break down all that next week. We're going to have a great show lined up for you. Maybe we'll find an old defensive back from the Kansas City Chiefs to talk a little bit about what it's like to go up against a guy like Tom Brady. But we got a lot of things kind of in the works. Yeah. So, listen, we appreciate y'all listening to Crunch Time. Really appreciate Joe Montana coming on, Frank.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was awesome. He would have stayed on for another hour.
Oh, sure he would. You bet.
He was on a roll.
Someday we'll just have to take a whole show with him. During the off season.
Yeah.
Get him when he gets back home and go for it from that point.
So all right, Frankie. You're the
best.
Don't
forget, big show coming up next.
Yep.
Couple hours.
And don't forget Saturday from 12 to 4 at our new Leawood Shaman on 11709 Row. And come and hang out with us. You're listening to
Crunch Time.